Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello, everybody. We're back again with the Forward with Purpose podcast. And Linda and I are here today with Stephanie Liberatore from Hope for Deeper Healing. And we're going to just talk to her and just have this really fun conversation. I hope you guys get a lot out of this because I did when I talked to her about what she's doing with her monthly support groups. What is it called? Women of Worth. Groups. Women of Worth. So for those of you who don't know Stephanie, I'm just going to have her give a brief elevator pitch and just tell about who she is, and then we'll get started.
Who I am? Okay. Well, I'm Stephanie Liberatore. I've been with our Pregnancy Center Ministry for over 18 years. Most of those years were with the Client Services, and then about 5 years ago, took over being the director of Hope and Healing. And this is my sweet spot, but I have to say that I was leading groups with Healing from Your Sexual Past for probably 17 of those years. So this is really my sweet spot and what I love. And because abortion is part of my story, it is what I love to, I love to bring women together because, you know, we've been in isolation for so long. And so a big purpose of Women of Worth is that we now have community, we have continued healing, and that's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so true. That's so true. Okay. So, I can't remember what exactly we talked about. So let's start here. How do you determine the topics? Now I get your emails, and just so y'all know, she puts out these emails with the kind of the idea of what they're going to talk about. And I'm always intrigued by how you guys are going to do this and just where you get your topics from, because I know that they have to do with abortion recovery, but what kind of sets you on the path to these are the topics that I want to talk about?
And can we back up even just a little further than that? Yeah. Because I'm coming into this on the further on the tail end.
Yeah.
Is this a in-person thing? Is this a virtual thing? These are people that have gone through group. Can you just back up a little bit and tell us what it is first, and then get back to the topics? Because I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Linda. Mostly they are women who have already come through a group or a retreat, but we've designed Women of Worth to be a starting place too. Maybe it's her first step toward any kind of healing. And I have had several women come that they haven't been through a group or a retreat. And this is her first time she's dipping the toe in and finding women that have a story like hers. So that's how we've designed it. And, you know, the topics, you know, if you've been leading groups for a while, we have so much material at our disposal. We have all these great resources from different curriculum, like, you know, Forgiven and Set Free and Living in Color. And there are just so many out there. And so what are the topics that these books contain? A lot of times it's the same kind, you know, they're all addressing anger and forgiveness and shame and denial and these kinds of topics,
but sometimes from a little different perspective.
And so, but the things that women need to talk about are those, definitely, because once is not just enough. When she's coming through a group, we are addressing those things, and she gets a measure of healing, but we could explore these topics over and over again for deeper healing. But she's also struggling with Mother's Day when it rolls around, and she's struggling with anniversary reactions and triggers and things like that. So I think it just was a matter of determining, okay, what did I need? What do I need as a posted board of woman, you know, who has healing, but like what were the things in my own story that I needed more of? And so that was a starting point. And the Lord, you know, when we pray and ask him, like, give me some of these ideas, he gives them. Mm-hmm. So how I started was I just made a list of like, what were some topics that I could cover? And I mentioned some of those, but I also,
Go ahead and mention them to us just as an example of some of the topics that you're covering.
Yeah. So some of the topics I've done were getting off the struggle bus of fear, anxiety, and depression.
I love that.
Talking about journaling as a path to healing, not the path, but a path. Acknowledging where you are now. Another topic was on anger, and I called it pushing all my buttons. Look at anger. Using the arts to heal my deepest hurts. This is a topic that I had she was a licensed counselor and a certified art therapist. And we've had her three times, once a year. And she's come and just done a hands-on practical art experience with healing in mind. And that was phenomenal. It's always the one that's so well attended.
So these are in-person groups.
In-person. Okay. Yes. I've also done a topic on trauma responses and codependency. Let's make a deal. That one was talking about buying forgiveness, kind of a question mark. Also, grieving well, the missing seat, men and abortion, anniversary reactions. The list goes on and on. Even breaking the silence, sharing my story. And that's one that's really been on my heart to go back to and explore more to help women really learn how to craft their story in a very short amount of time. So, the Lord can use their story as well.
Yeah. Now, do you happen to remember when we got together and talked about this ourselves, just you and I, a few months ago, which two we talked about? Because I remember they were so much fun to talk about.
They were fun to do.
Okay. Which two were they?
Yes. The two that I think I was sharing with you was, one of them was called Grieving Well.
Okay.
I've titled it different because I've revisited these topics a couple of times and I've just rename them, kind of tweak them. And then the second one was, Unexpected Gifts.
Oh yeah, that was the really cool. I just thought that was so anointed. Okay, we'll get to that.
So what is it about, Unexpected Gifts?
Well, No. You hold on to that one. No,
okay,
that's a complete surprise because it's such a great object lesson type support group. It's great. So let's talk about the. Sorry, Linda. I want to make you sit there and be curious. We hate being curious as women.
We're all just out here waiting.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Grieving Well. What are some of the things that you do? How do you, like, if you could walk us through start to finish, kind of what that looks like, what your goal is for the women.
Sure. Well, first I want to just give you like an outline of what every meeting looks like, just the skeleton of this. Okay. So I have a gift for first time attendees. So if it's her first time, she can choose from a really nice mug that has the word hope on it. Or we have a little resource from Tony Evans that she can choose which one that she wants. So we always have a welcome gift. We open with a short prayer and we do a little introduction round. And I just come up with a random question and we just go around and introduce ourselves and answer this question. And it's a way for the new women just to breathe, settle into the space and try to relax because she's nervous, as you know.
Yeah.
And then I always talk about, I give a statement about who we are, why we meet, why we're there, you know, what's the purpose of our, you know, and it's for first time or continued support, et cetera. We talk about the importance of confidentiality. I give announcements. And those usually include like when our next meeting is. I try to give them some topic, the topic, if I know it, but like what's coming up to pique her interest and get her to come back. Mm-hmm. And then any events that are relevant. I always talk about upcoming groups that are starting, space that's available, different things like that. So that's included. And then we have one woman share her story, and this is determined ahead of time. So she comes, somebody who's been through a retreat or a group, and she shares her story.
And what a neat opportunity for her to be able to do that first step, probably for some of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I give her about 5 or 10 minutes, and then I intro the topic for the night. And I usually try to ask an engaging question. I also try to include as many visuals or a visual as much as possible. I keep my commentary short to about 10 or 15 minutes. Like I present the topic and I lay it out there. But what I really want is to do less topic or less talking rather, and open it for discussion. I want it to be a discussion. It's not a teaching. So what I do is, you know, like I named a lot of topics that we address. And when you look at that topic, we think that's a really big topic. Like if we were to look at grief or anger or any one of these things, it's a big topic, right? How do you cover that? And I don't feel like I have to cover every nuance of that topic.
Right.
So I look at it. I've got a panoramic view. My topic is a panoramic. But what I want to do is I want to bring it in to focus on a little aspect of it. So in case let's just say we're looking at a beautiful mountain range, right? That's our panoramic view. But I hone in that into that beautiful wildflower that's right at the base of the mountain. You see what I mean?
Yep.
I'm only looking at one aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So may I ask, then if you revisit this topic, do you revisit a different aspect?
Not always. Maybe I might keep some things the same, but like maybe something's just in my heart. I'm like, you know what? I think I want to take this part out and I'm just going to go in a slightly different direction.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. I just kind of, yeah. And then once we have the intro of the topic and we have a great discussion, then I close with a 5-question survey. You know,
is that written?
Yes. Was tonight's topic helpful? What was the thing that you liked best about tonight? Would you recommend? Wow. The topic I'm interested in discussing is, and then they can fill in the blank. And would you like to share your story at an upcoming WOW meeting? So it's really very simple. So that's the skeleton that I follow for every meeting.
Okay. I want to ask you about the discussion portion. There might be a lot of people wondering, okay, so how are you, first of all, we want to be careful not to let the discussion rail or take a trail, mm-hmm. right? Way out here. And so are you facilitating that discussion in a certain manner? What does that look like for your group?
I do facilitate it, and I think I keep it on track well. Okay. And I also have some like worksheets. I know my ladies enough to know that they like stuff like that. You know, it's not that it has to be that way. I mean, there are a couple months that I don't have anything planned. So I have a clipboard at every seat with a couple of the, you know, worksheets that we're going to be in and the agenda. So they all have that. They have their survey. They have everything that they need. And we just will look at a couple of those worksheets, because that's doing the worksheets. It helps them to stay focused in our discussion to stay focused.
Yeah.
So maybe they're answering some questions and then we're talking about it, or we're reading something together. If it's something from a book, I might photocopy that and just, you know, put that. So we're reading that. Mm-hmm. I've done that, you know, if it just enhances the discussion or the material that I'm presenting that night.
Okay. And just to give us an idea, how long is the group? And then how long is that actual discussion time with everything else included, do you think?
Yeah, the group is an hour and a half, and I start on time and end on time. And the discussion, the part that I like to just keep my part to 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
So when I can factor in all the welcomings, the business stuff on the front end and the woman who's sharing her story. And mm-hmm. then the most of the time, the meat of the time is spent on the discussion.
Okay. Okay. So you make like 30 minutes, maybe 45 yeah. minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
I've been hearing people talk about this, some sort of follow-up program to keep people engaged and continue to disciple and all of that. For someone that is just thinking about starting this, do you have anything you learned in your startup phase of this? How long have you been doing it? And any tips if we wanted someone out here wants to do something like this that you learned maybe the hard way of ways to go about advertising it and getting it out and
fixing
a time, anything like that?
Yeah. Well, Linda, let me tell you, I started 3 years ago. We just celebrated our third anniversary of Women of Worth. And and I've been here for five. And I remember somebody coming. She was a leader. And she was taking a tour of our facility. And she said, so what do you do for aftercare? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And I'm like, well, we do the groups, you know. And her question really stuck with me. I thought, what am I doing? I thought, well, at Hope and Healing, we do a lot of different things. We have other classes. So I know that is part of her continued growth and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I thought, what am I doing for the post-abortion? And it just bugged me. And I think the Lord used that question to get me praying and thinking about what can we do and what would this look like? And I know that was one of the questions that you asked, but how did I get started? It was just a matter of, like, Lord, what could this look like? And what would I talk about? And then just putting the bones together. And then once I had a topic, getting people and what could it look like and getting the word out. And to get the word out, I emailed all of the women who have ever done a post-abortion group with us. So I had a list already. And I just keep emailing that list every single month. And many of them don't respond and, you know, whatever, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of them do. And then as I was inviting women to share their story, that was a way that I was getting the word out there. And so sometimes they would bring a friend to come and support her. And I was, that's how I did. I just kept trying, like, who do I know that is post-abortive that could come and share this, their story. And it just kept growing.
What about,
I had a long list of women that I could call on and say, hey, would you like to share your story on this month? And so I have somebody every month.
So I'm thinking about, because we talked about that this is also for women who are just getting to know you and haven't gone through a group. So you do design it for that. How are you reaching them? How are they finding out about it?
They would find, we also published something in, this was another question that Linda had asked too, how we got the word out. So yes, my email list, but for women that, you know, didn't know about us, we promoted on our social media. We sent public, what is that? The announcements for newspaper.
PSA.
A press release. Yes.
Oh, press release. Yeah.
And I have an amazing story about this because we sent press releases to all of those free newspapers that are in your county and your area. And we sent to counties that were outside of our county, okay, neighboring counties, because we know that women will want the anonymity of going to another county, right? They might be afraid of running into somebody that they know. So I had a woman a couple of years ago, and she still comes. She drives an hour one way to get to the meeting. And she said, I'll never forget. She said, I saw your little ad in our in our free newspaper. And she said, I don't even remember, like, I don't even get this paper on a regular basis. And I almost never look at it. But she said, I opened and I saw your ad and I want to come.
Wow.
So I said, well, absolutely. And I, after talking with her, I did try to connect her to a pregnancy center in her area. And she said, no, I think I just want to come. And that was, she wanted to be outside of her, area. That's so awesome. She still comes. And then she brought somebody with her a few months later who, this is crazy, who was 86 years old and had never shared her story with anybody.
Wow. Wow. That's really incredible.
And she shared it with the group. So, great. It really has so much potential to reach a lot of different women that you might not otherwise reach.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let's get into the two groups that we're going to talk about. So let's start with Grieving Well and just tell us a little bit what makes this so special, what kind of object lessons you're doing or if you are. And
this is one of my favorites. Grieving Well, you know, in our country, we don't grieve really well, we kind of suck it up, buttercup kind of.
Oh, isn't she brave? Because she's not even crying. Yes.
Right. I know. Isn't that wonderful?
It's a show of strength. Yes.
Yeah.
And we just don't do it well at all. And then we think, okay, how does it look? I mean, what does grieving well even look like? Does it just mean that we're boohooing all over the place and snotting up our arm? And maybe that's why women are afraid to grieve, because does it have to look like that?
Right.
And so we don't even know what it looks like to grieve well, right?
Right.
So, you know, whenever we say the word grief, it just feels so weighty. That word itself feels weighty. And
wouldn't you say, though, that most of us and most women are totally loving towards those who are grieving, but we don't feel that others are going to be that loving towards us when we're grieving. Right. Mm-hmm. And yet everybody, we come, like when you're standing in a community of women, everybody is like, oh, you know, and they're grieving with you to their, in their way. But yet when you're the one doing it, it's like, they think I'm stupid. You know, like all of a sudden it turns around and they think I'm weak. They think I'm, you know, a mess or whatever. And that funny dynamic.
And I think it has to do with how we're raised too. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was raised in a household where it, you know, my dad, it made him uncomfortable. So like, mm-hmm. if we're crying and be quiet, you know, stop crying, where I, for many years, I felt really ashamed for crying in front of people. Mm. I don't have any problem with it now, but it was just how we're raised that, you know, we have to be tough. So I start this session talking about that and how, you know, there's a great quote by John Eldridge. He says that grief is a form of validation. It says that the wound mattered, and that it wasn't how life was supposed to go. And every single person resonates with that. I mean, we've all had a lot of losses like that.
Yeah.
So how did your family of origin handle loss? You know, some of the people are like, oh my gosh, we didn't handle it. We ran from everything. We didn't talk about anything. Or what did you learn about grieving as you grew up? I don't know. We've never seen what it looks like to grieve well. We haven't seen it modeled out for us. And then if we were to ask, you know, how have you observed others doing their grieving well? Like, no, I don't know. And so like just asking those few questions, it really gets us thinking, okay, I'm seeing this need in my own life. Like, I don't know what it means like to grieve. So we pick up these cues from our family of origin, you know, that tears are a sign of weakness. We got to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and I don't even know what that means. Like, what does that mean? Suck it up. But this is so interesting. This, I'm going to share this with you from the lyrics of that song, Let It Go. You know, the Frozen, the Disney movie Frozen.
Oh, okay.
This is a portion of the lyrics. It says, don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, put on a show. Make one wrong move and everyone will know. Right? I mean, that speaks to shame, that speaks to so many things, but it just, that's American culture. Mm-hmm. Where you just gotta suck it up, buttercup.
And we're indoctrinating them so young. That is sad.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So so what this subject or what this topic does is that it gets them thinking, yeah, I get you. This is how I was raised too. This is my struggle. And when we think about our abortion loss, oh my gosh, all the more we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So now I have this Coke bottle. It's a 20-ounce Coke bottle. And I, as I'm talking to them, I shake this thing.
With the lid tight, I hope.
What's that?
With the lid tight, I hope.
Oh, it's never been opened. Okay. But okay. We all know what would happen if we shook a can of soda and opened it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has to explain what's going to happen. But so I'm really shaking this Coke. And so I explained that Coke and shaking, that's a picture of us under pressure, under the pressure of grief. And how many times have I heard somebody say, oh, I can't go there because if I start crying, I'm not going to stop.
Won't stop. Yep.
Yeah. They somehow think that it will destroy them.
Yes. Yeah. So we can't go there. Mm-hmm. We can't go there. And I'm not dare going to open up that bottle. But then I say this, but what if in a safe place, a little at a time, and I begin to unscrew the top off this 20 liter, not a can, but it's the 20 liter, just really slowly. And I say, but what if in a safe place, a little at a time, we take deliberate steps to begin releasing our grief. And then before long, I have the lid off. And she realizes, okay, I'm not going to blow. I can do this. Because she just saw it with her eyes. The fear of that pressure, the pressure that was built up, that she can learn to let it go. So then there's a few handouts that she has on her clipboard. And the first one that she does is this timeline. It's a timeline diagram. And it's so simple. It's basically a blank sheet of paper. And it's with a line down the middle. And it says, you know, and then on the left-hand side, it's losses. And on the right side, it's gains. And I instruct her to just in a few minutes, I'm only going to give her about 5 minutes to do this, to write down a list of your losses on the one column and a list of gains. You don't have to do it chronologically. You're not going to get everything, but just the ones that come to your mind. And so the losses could be her parents divorced when she was 4. Mm-hmm. She moved from town to town. Maybe she moved different high schools 4 times, you know, like, you know, a lot of moving. Maybe now, it was.
Is the losses related to everything coming up to the abortion? Or is it related to things after? Is it any loss whatsoever?
Any loss.
Okay.
Any loss. But her abortion wound's going to be definitely on that list.
Okay.
It could be maybe a personal divorce that she had, or a relationship struggle, or the loss of her grandparents or parents, or, you know, death, just any kind of losses. And then on the gains, what are the gains that she had? Well, she graduated high school with honors. She graduated college. She, was promoted, you know, different things. Maybe she ran that 5K that she wanted to do. Maybe she, you know, just what were the gains that she had? And then I have her star the ones on both columns that, like, okay, for the losses, star the ones that you have grieved well. And that means the ones that you have worked through them really well. They don't cause you distress or sadness anymore. You can talk about them, etc. And then on the gains column, the same thing. Star the ones that you have celebrated well, the things that, you know, you have recognized your accomplishment. You allowed yourself to feel proud about that, to feel the joy, etc. And then we talk about that. We don't go over all of her lists, but it's just a simple, like, you know, how did you do? How did you do on those? And she's going to see, wow, this is what I hear a lot. I have a lot of work to do. She's going to see the things that, wow, I need to celebrate more, the things that I've done. You know, we don't often sit and just celebrate the accomplishments that we've made. In our healing, we love to celebrate here, you know, so we celebrate well with gifts and food and all those kinds of things, just really celebrating how far they've come. And I think that you do that too at your place, Mindy. And then the losses, she's going to see, okay, I got a lot of work to do. And maybe she can say, I've come a long way with my abortion loss. It's not what it once was, but maybe she's going to see, I got a whole lot of things. I'm not very good at grieving, taking the time that I need to grieve. And we know that it shows up in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. So where do we go from there? She sees her need. And then we talk about what does it look like to grieve well? And this information is stuff that I gleaned from Living in Color. And when I have a handout, I always source it, you know, who was my source in this? So they know it's coming from that book. But what does it look like to grieve well? And it's not just crying and snotting it up on your sleeve, you know, so this handout gives a whole list of things that contribute to a good grieving process. And I'll just share some of them. It could be soaking in a bath and just letting your thoughts and emotions roam, allowing yourself to have that thought and feeling. It might be taking a contemplative walk, engaging in strenuous activity to release physical tension. It might be get counseling or join a support group, which, you know, they're there. Wow. So they can say, all right, I'm doing that. They can talk about that, embrace the support of those who care, getting into scriptures or journaling, writing anger letters and forgiveness letters and not sending them. So those are a few, but it goes into more creative things that they can do, holding a memorial service, lighting candles, just stuff that just helps. Creating a memorial garden, you know, things like that really help. So then after they realize what it looks like to grieve well, then we talk about creating a sanctuary. And because we've been told we have to just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. So we can't like lose it for a week. You know, how does this look? I got to take care of my family. I can't just lose it. But, you know, we can have times of structured grieving where we can say, okay, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes in the morning before I start my day, before the kids get up, before I have to get moving with getting them to school and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to give myself this amount of time where I'm going to open that box where I've tucked my emotions in, and I'm going to allow myself to think about what I feel. And, you know, we give them journaling prompts and things where they could go there.
We had an interesting interview with Jenny Foster, and she once a year has a routine that she does to honor her son. And I love that. Yeah.
That is good. Yeah. Yes. So creating a sanctuary, giving her journal prompts. So that's really that topic. And that is one that the women really respond well to. Because I feel like these are good tools. I always want to leave them with good tools.
Yeah. And how are you wrapping that up?
How did I wrap that up?
That's a lot to cover in 10 to 15 minutes, I think you were saying.
We just have really good discussion. And I can't remember how I wrapped up, but I tied up. I tied up somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. I really love that. And I love the Coke bottle picture, you know, because we are expecting it to just, I mean, that's what we think is going to happen to us, you know, and that's what really takes us into the abortion center in the first place, is that fear that we're going to be consumed and overwhelmed by, you know, whatever that we're fearing. And that just shifts, that fear just goes and it doesn't go away. It just shifts into now we got to keep it under wraps forever, you know? Yeah. I am going to do a bad thing here. I'm going to wrap up this session and we are not going to get to the unexpected gifts. What we're going to do is
keep us hanging. Oh no,
yes, we are, because we're at the end of our time, but what we'll do is we'll record a part two. So Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Wonderful interview.
So appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for having me.